My name is Joe Vachica, and we're going to be having podcasts bi-weekly with Prescott E-News. Now, the opinions that I have are my own opinions and not the opinions of Prescott E-News. But I wanted to be able to tell you that I'm a Democrat. I am a state committee person for the Democratic Party. I'm also with the Young Democrats of the Prescott area and with the County Democratic Party. So I am a Democrat through and through. I'd like to have a conversation with my guests here and to be able to just learn something that might not know before. And I'm excited to be able to share that with you. And I hope that over time you'll grow with this podcast to see it expand. Today I'm sitting and we're having our coffee with Diane McQueen from Outlaw Dirty Money. Diane, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Myself, I'm retired and giving back to the community in the state. I am a Northern Arizona Regional Coordinator for Outlaw Dirty Money. I live here in Yavapai County, local resident, been in the state 35 years, graduated from ASU. My husband and I lived up in the Flagstaff area 30 years, and when we retired, we moved down where it was a little warmer.
Oh, gotcha. That's exciting. So tell us a little bit about Outlaw Dirty Money. What is Dirty Money, and what is your organization trying to accomplish?
So Dirty Money is more known as dark money, political dark money. And it's the money that is spent anonymously, can be up to millions of dollars by in-state, out-of-state, and out-of-country corporations and people trying to influence our vote. And they don't have to tell us who they are. In 2010, the Supreme Court case known as Citizens United basically opened the floodgates for political spending by corporations. And basically it said corporations are people too. What it didn't do was say that this money could be spent anonymously. So what's been happening since then is companies and people are come in, and this happens all over the country, and it's spending money to influence our vote. It has nothing to do with campaigns themselves. Mm-hmm. And because currently, if you donate $50 or more to a campaign, that money is disclosed in their financial campaign reports with the Secretary of State. So it's not all money is anonymous. It's the money that is spent outside of a campaign, and a campaign can be for a politician or a ballot initiative or a candidate or ballot initiative. So this money is spent outside of that. It's not coordinated with the campaign.
I see.
And that's money we're targeting. So we are a nonpartisan group. We're founded by a Republican, a Democrat, and an independent, Tom Horn, who is a former Arizona Attorney General and Superintendent of Schools, Terry Goddard, a former Arizona Attorney General and Mayor of Phoenix, and Paul Johnson, who's an independent, who is a former Mayor of Phoenix. So we are working to put an Arizona constitutional amendment on the November 2020 ballot to require full disclosure, starting at certain trigger points, monetary trigger points, of that money right down to the original source. Right now, only the person who writes the last check has to disclose who they are. And when I say person, it could be a corporation. What we want to know is we want to know who is the first person to write a check and how it flowed through the system. And they decided to call it dirty money because this money can flow through several intermediaries before it's finally spent for its media purpose.
What are some of the intermediaries that you're talking about?
They can be certain what we call social welfare organizations, 501c4s. And so you don't know where the money's, it kind of gets funneled around. And, you know, Terry Goddard said, he says, you know, I prosecuted money launderers. This is money laundering. This is dirty money, because it's flowing through, can flow through many different places before it's finally spent.
So who are the big spenders for the state of Arizona? Why is Arizona thinking about this initiative?
You know, Arizona seems to be ground zero for the amount of dark money spent in this state. And it happens on both sides, all sides of the political fence.
It's not just a Democratic issue. It's not a Republican issue. It's a bipartisan, you know, when you get to the, bipartisan issue.
The big dollars, you get to the George Soros on the left, the Koch brothers on the right. A lot of them are hiding behind, you know, fuzzy, you know, feel-good sounding names. You know, we joke, you know, it's like Americans for peanut butter. You know, but you have Americans for prosperity, Americans for workers, you know, free enterprise, and they're basically just sham social welfare charities that are allowed by law to spend up to 49% of their cash on this type of endeavor.
That's a lot of money. 49%. I mean, that's so when we're talking about some of these groups like Americans for Prosperity, there's Democratic groups as well.
Absolutely.
That are putting money.
Absolutely.
Can you think of one off the top of your head that might be?
I can't. I'd have to look them up.
I did a little bit of research. Just, I wasn't sure if you had known of some. It looks like there was one called Red and Gold that spent $1 million against Martha McSally in the last election.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this is not just a state issue. This is a federal issue as well.
This is a federal. We are not targeting federal, so this won't affect the Senate elections coming up. You know, this would only be for state and local initiatives.
Gotcha. So the federal
and candidates.
Is there any law that governs the federal side of that, or is it?
There is not. Citizens United didn't say they could hide their money, but there isn't any restriction. Mm-hmm. And saying that they have to report it. So that's why we're going state by state. There are other states like Montana, New York, New Jersey signed a bill that do have dark money disclosure laws. Arizona is very lucky, as we are one of 24 states in the country that is built into our constitution, our state constitution, that voters can bring initiatives to the ballot. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Sure. So speaking of bringing the initiative to the ballot, this is now the second election cycle that we're trying the outlaw dirty money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us what happened in 2018?
Certainly. Yeah. In 2018, and I was the Yavapai County Regional Coordinator for that effort. I am this year, plus I cover some other Pride Support Services to some other counties like Gila, Navajo, and Apache.
You're in northern Arizona, so that would be...
One of them, and then I have a counterpart in Flagstaff, okay. Becky, and she covers Coconino and Mojave.
Got it.
And so what happened was we only had 5 months for the campaign last year, so we ended up hiring paid circulators, a paid circulating company. Mm. They were based out of, headquartered out of state. During the campaign, they opened a temporary office in an office building in Phoenix that their circulators would submit their petitions to. And then they would scan and validate those. After Terry, on July 5th last year, submitted all our petitions to the Secretary of State's office, this company closed their temporary office, you know, went back to their headquarters.
Where were their headquarters, curiously?
I'm thinking it was either Kansas or Texas.
Okay.
And so what happens is, once those petitions are submitted, there's legally only a certain amount of time between when they're submitted and the deadline for the Secretary of State to print the ballots,
right,
that there's a whole set of validation that the Secretary of State and the county recorders do. So after those... the company closed their office. Americans for Prosperity filed lawsuits and subpoenaed 15 of our paid circulators. And a couple of things they did. One, they subpoenaed the circulators who lived the furthest from Arizona, hoping they wouldn't come back. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the subpoenas of the 15 they issued was our campaign manager at the time, whose home address is Hawaii. When they found out he was still in the state, they dropped that subpoena. And the other thing they did was they dropped these subpoenas off at the now closed office on a Saturday, left them with a security card. By the time we found out, it was too late, and we filed a lawsuit against it. But the Arizona State Supreme Court ruled, no, that's legal. So if they didn't show up for their hearing, their petitions are tossed. And we're not the only one who gets targeted with this stuff. What happens is these companies who oppose, or you know, corporations, people who oppose, will try and fit, I mean, it can be hundreds of subpoenas in a day. And if a circulator shows, doesn't, one, if they don't show up for the hearing, their petitions get tossed. If it could go on for days, if they leave at any point in time and they're not there, you know, a lot of these people still have lives. They're working people, families. If they leave and they're not there when their name comes up, those petitions are tossed. So it's
I see. So I think it came down really to the last day. There was one day before they were going to be printing the ballots, and then the Supreme Court had decided the day prior.
Yeah, and during the meantime, there were a lot of frivolous lawsuits filed against us.
Now, why do you think that is?
Busy work until the state Supreme Court handed down their ruling. It was to keep us busy. I spent a lot of time, 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, there were groups of us around the state going through the signatures that they said were illegal and disputing that. We would have gone to court on that. And then there's also signatures that your county recorders may say that signature is not good. We go have to prove it is, you know. Mm-hmm. But all of it, you know, once the state Supreme Court ruled, everything is moot.
Sure. And,
you know, the great thing that, so we're back this year and we're all volunteer.
And that was going to be my next question. So you don't have any paid circulators this time. Everybody that has a petition, are they all state residents?
Is
that...
They are all state residents. You can be an out-of-state resident. We have a lot of people who have second homes here. Mm-hmm. And they're registered to vote somewhere else. There are certain rules the Secretary of State puts forth. For instance, they need to be eligible to vote. They don't need to be registered. They need to be 18 years old, eligible to vote, not convicted of crimes, adjudicated, and they can be circulators. Those people do have to register as paid circulators. They're not paid, but they're
registered. They still have to register as a paid circulator.
Yeah, we do have some staff members. I am, for the most part, a volunteer. You know, I don't get paid to gather signatures. Because I travel a lot, I probably drive 500 to 700 miles a month, okay. Not just around Yavapai County, but some of the other counties, bringing supplies, doing training. I'm a notary, so I notarize petitions, except for my own. I can't notarize my own. So I do get a 25 cents a mile gas reimbursement. But that's just for that part of the job. But I register just in case as a paid circulator. We do have coordinators like myself in some area, like mostly in Maricopa County, that are paid. Most of them aren't gathering signatures, but they registered as paid circulators just in case. But for the most part, we're all volunteers.
So when Americans for Prosperity brought forward the lawsuit, they said that it was a First Amendment issue, that that's why this shouldn't be, and that's why I went to the Supreme Court. Do you feel that it's a First Amendment issue? Do you think that it's... that there's an issue with the First Amendment because...
And that has to do with anonymous spending. I don't think it is. I mean, right now, you donate $50 or more to a campaign or an initiative or something, that money's already declared.
Right.
You know, so that can be found in campaign finance reports. You know, they're worried about... we do have wording built into the amendment. For instance, the Clean Elections Commission... should this get on the ballot and pass, will be enforcing this amendment. We did put wording in, say, if somebody can demonstrate, and it will be the commission who makes up those rules. You know, they have the authority to make and enforce the rules. So somebody can demonstrate to them that they are going to be harassed or their family are harmed, or certain business that could cause problems, you know, their affiliations, then their information will not be disclosed, you know. It will, like I say, it will be the Clean Elections. We don't specify how you have to demonstrate, rule of the Clean Elections Commission, but a lot of times just a risk to reputation. You know, one of the biggest, most recent examples of dark money is APS. Now, APS gives to some wonderful causes in all counties, all over the state, in all counties of the state, but in especially in Yavapai County. And so their nonprofit work is really to be respected and mm-hmm. admired. But APS also in 2014 spent millions of dollars to basically get two corporation commissioners elected.
Nearly 11 million, I think, if I remember.
Huh?
Right. Nearly 11 million? Does that sound?
Yeah. Well, at right? the time, you know, so they got those two corporation commissioners were elected. And then in 2017, they came and asked for a $95 million rate hike, and it was essentially rubber stamped. And some of the other commissioners, including Bob Burns, who is a Republican, you know, between 2014 and 2018, tried to, you know, as best as he could, to get subpoenas issued to require them. Because everybody thought it for years, 5 years, we all thought, they probably spent a few million dollars, and APS would be like, we don't have to say anything. And so in 2018, when the commission seat makeup changed, and then this past March, they finally issued subpoenas. A subpoena to APS for them to disclose. Now, after the subpoenas were issued, APS said, oh, we'll give you that money. We'll give you that information voluntarily after the subpoenas were issued. Turns out they spent $10.7 million. So they spent $10.7 million. I'm an APS customer of our ratepayer money to get a $95 million return on it, a year return on investment.
So to be clear, this initiative is not going to stop people from...
We're not trying to stop it.
You know, they could still donate to any, let's say APS, could still donate to any causes that they feel are appropriate to donate to. It's just to disclose who the donors are.
Who the donors are, right down to the person who writes the person or corporation who writes the first check. No, we are not trying to stop it. But we as Arizona voters, and it doesn't, like I say, it doesn't matter what side of the political fence you're on, you know, have a right to know who's in trying to influence my votes, right? We can make better informed decisions. And polling all through the state has shown, well, both Tempe and Phoenix passed disclosure laws. Polls taken around this, and that was like 85% and 91% of voters said, we want to know. Polling around the state says 85%. Even here in Yavapai County last March, the Courier Online does a weekly survey. You know, they'll ask a different question every week, and they'll, you know, readers can put in their choices and they'll show the results. They had asked, and it was specifically about APS, if, you know, do you think APS should have disclosed this money? And the answers, the choices were basically yes, they should, no, they shouldn't, or I don't care. After 7 days, and I track this every day, after 7 days, and pretty much every day, 82-83% of the respondents, survey respondents, said, yeah, they need to disclose. So it's here in Yavapai County also.
So are you prepared for, do you anticipate there would be a lawsuit if...
Absolutely.
are you prepared for, is your group prepared for a lawsuit? Do you know what's coming? I mean, you probably know what to expect.
I'm sure
now.
Terry and Tom and our lawyers are, yes. Yeah, we absolutely expect this to happen. You know, it happens with pretty much any initiative, whether it was 305 or 127 or, you know, upcoming ones. There's always opposing lawsuits by opposing parties.
Gotcha. Mm. So now you started this initiative. You said 5 months. In 2018, you had 5 months that you started the initiative and collected the signatures, 285,000, I think.
That's
right. In
5 months.
I mean, it was an incredible amount of signatures in a short period of time.
It's even more now.
Well, and now I know you started much earlier. So
yes. So
when is the
basically
deadline
15
for...
months. The campaign will need to submit those signatures to the Secretary of State by July 5th, 2020. And we'll probably run it right up to the wire. And especially because that week has to be July 4th, and that's a big weekend for getting signatures. So the amount of signatures you need is based on the total vote, state votes cast in the last election where a governor was elected. It has nothing to do with the governor, that's just a benchmark. So in 2018, we had record turnout for the midterms. There were 2.4 million votes cast. And Ducey was reelected as part of that. But so to bring forth an initiative, a statute, mm-hmm. you need 10% of that 2.4 million For a constitutional amendment, it's 15%. So we need 15% valid signatures of 2.4 million. So it's almost 357,000 votes. Whereas last time we needed about 226,000. Now we need almost 357. We're going for 500,000 because you want a big buffer. Votes get tossed for a lot of reasons.
You know, sometimes people they write their name twice. They don't remember if they signed it.
They've moved and don't remember if they've re-registered. You know, so votes. You know, signatures do get tossed for a lot of reasons.
Right.
But now we have a time. The good thing is, you know, last year, one of the things we learned last year, we had collected 290,000 signatures, 292. 150 of those were gathered by volunteers. We had a 92% validity rate on what the signatures that the volunteers cast. Usually paid circulators, you're lucky it's around 70 or something. But the volunteer, the validity rate of the signatures our volunteers collected was phenomenal. I mean, that's a phenomenal number, 92%. And that's because volunteers care. They're doing this because they want to.
Right. Well, I think they see the opportunity to change something in the state that they see as a problem.
And per capita, around the counties around the state, Yavapai volunteers brought in more signatures.
That's exciting.
So I'm really, really proud. We have a lot. And we have volunteers who are Republicans, Independents, and Democrats. We span the spectrum.
So that actually probably brings me to a point I think maybe other people are curious to know, is how many signatures have you collected so far?
Well, we're not releasing the statewide numbers yet.
Okay.
Because we know the dark money people are watching us.
Okay.
And in Yavapai County, I've set a goal, at least till the end of the year, and then we'll reevaluate, basically 1,000 signatures a month. And that is based on, as of April 1st, about the start of the campaign, there were a little over 3.7 million active registered voters in Arizona. Yavapai County accounts for about 3.8% of those active registered voters. Terry's goal is, and Tom's and Paul's, is by the end of the year, we want to see 200,000 signatures. So 3.8% of 200,000 is about 1,000 signatures a month. So, and we're right on track. Even in this hot weather this month. You
that's
know.
Exciting. Well, that's mm-hmm. exciting. I don't have any questions from the chat. By the way, if you have any questions or if there's something you'd like to ask Diane, let me know and I'll ask her. Let's see here. So, the word dirty is, it's more anonymity, or dark is the anonymity side of it. We don't know if it's, I imagine that there's election laws that govern to make sure that there's no foreign money coming into Arizona.
Yeah, that is illegal.
I mean, we're, a lot of our local elections here, we're probably not looking at Chinese money or Russian money, or we're really looking at just the anonymity of the larger donors from other places around the country,
the
corporations.
Donors. I mean, a good example is in Flagstaff. In 2016, the Proposition 414 was passed, and what it did was raise the minimum wage within Flagstaff above what the state levels are, and voters passed that. Then in 2018, a dark money group brought forth Proposition 418, or they helped fund it, to repeal Proposition 418. That money came from a Virginia resident, an out-of-state resident. So it's not only just the millions of dollars, you know, and luckily, whatever your vote is, but the Flagstaff residents voted down Proposition 418, so they still have their minimum wage, and it doesn't matter, you know, whether you agree with it or not. Even the Prescott mayoral elections in 2017, now this has nothing to do with the mayor or who was elected, because like I say, this dark money is spent outside of campaigns, but dark money was spent both against a Republican and a Democrat.
Well, and I think I even got like an Americans for Prosperity mailer for the mayoral election
and,
for Prescott.
And so it was Mary Beth Hearn and Gene Wilcox, you know, were targets of it. And like I say, it has nothing to do with the mayor's campaign that he ran. It was spent outside of that.
So these large groups are even affecting our city council elections, our mayoral elections,
absolutely,
our county elections,
local
really
propositions
all down
and
the line.
All the way up to the state. I know LD18, LD8, which was Debbie Lesko and Tipperini, if I say her right. Nothing to do with the candidates, but there was dark, I heard $1.5 million spent in dark money.
Sure.
That.
And those are federal elections, right? Those are...
Those were
congressional election, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that wouldn't have covered it, but still, I mean,
right.
There's... You know, like I say, Arizona is just ground zero, and I mean it's happening across the country.
Now, does this affect lobbying either, or does it just touch state and local elections? It doesn't touch lobbying. It doesn't touch federal elections.
Right.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, you gotta start somewhere.
Oh, of course. Now, I had a question for you about some of your major supporters. I know you were endorsed by a local candidate. Up here, Noel Campbell that had endorsed
Noel Campbell has, for the second year in a row, officially endorsed us, yes. And
gotcha.
We're really happy about that.
Do you know some of your other endorsees that you're...
Tom O'Halloran, who's LD6.
Okay.
We're getting endorsements. Democratic Women of the Prescott area is endorsing us, the Arizona State Democratic Party. Is endorsing us. I haven't seen the full list, but we do have quite a lot of candidates who are officials who are currently in office and who are running. Kathy Russing's campaign is collecting signatures, so we really appreciate that. And we just keep, and then like I say, just hundreds of thousands of individuals around the state.
Right.
And these are people who go down to the Courthouse Plaza. I'm a big one for that. You know, you can find when there's an event down there. I got my little table set up.
Well, I can tell you, when I ran for council, I got tons of signatures at the Courthouse Plaza.
Just, oh yeah,
it's just nice to talk to people, and everybody wants to.
To people who are just carrying a petition and getting 5 or 10 or 15 signatures, and that's huge. You know, especially during
it's
the
those little amounts that really make the difference for a lot of the those little amounts of signatures.
They add up. That's what I tell people. You get a book club, you get a hiking club, a breakfast club. You've got visitors, in-state visitors coming for the weekend. I was invited just this past weekend to a private party up in Cherry. A gal who is a volunteer of ours, you know, has a party once a year for 100 of her closest friends. And so I went up there and gathered signatures. Yeah. That was great.
So why do you think, and I think I know the answer to this, and I'm sure we can guess, why do you think that there hasn't been any action from the state legislature on changing this from the legislature's side of view?
Well, I don't... That's just the makeup. I don't want to come off sounding partisan because I truly believe in the nonpartisanship of this effort. And that's one of the main reasons I did this, because there's so much civil, political discourse and so much division. And I thought about enjoying, working on something that would hopefully bring people together and we can all agree on. So I would just say that the legislature, doesn't have a problem with dark money. You know, a lot of the states that have already passed laws have been passed by their state legislatures and signed by their governors, and of both political parties.
Sure, sure. Well, that's all really good information. Is there anything else that you would? It doesn't look like we got any questions. So, is there anything you would like everyone to know?
I would like everyone to know that we need many volunteers as possible. We've got plenty of time. If you go to two things, you can go to www.outlawdirtymoney.com. You can sign up there. You can also email me. It's Diane, D-I-A-N-E, at outlawdirtymoney.com, all one word. I am a local Yavapai County, but I support residents in three other counties. Or if you're from another county, you can still email me and I'll put you in touch with your coordinator. And like I say, we provide training. We provide the supplies. Yesterday, I met with a new volunteer down at Wild Iris. After that, I went and met another volunteer and notarized 11 petitions for him. And we provide events, or we, you know, list, I provide, here's a good place to go get signatures. So we provide training, supplies. You don't have to be what I call a street circulator. You know, a lot of people don't mind that. I don't, but like I say, if you've got friends coming to visit, and we can get signatures. A Yavapai County volunteer can get a signatures for any county in the state. We just have to have a separate petition for each county. We provide free notary services, although you can go to your bank. So we provide you every opportunity. And like I say, every 5, 10, and 15 is as important as somebody who goes out and fills 2 or 3 sheets of signatures. And that's what's going to get us on the ballot. And I truly believe, like Maricopa County, they're very big. They'll probably be the amount of signatures to get us on the ballot. But I truly believe it's going to be Southern Arizona, Northern Arizona, all around the state. That's what's going to help. It's these signatures are going to help keep us on the ballot. So it's extremely important all over the state.
Well, Diane, thank you so much for joining us today. We're wonderful to have
really
coffee with you today.
I really appreciate the opportunity to do this.
Great, great. And I just want to remind everybody that these all of the opinions that are expressed here are my own and not the opinions of Prescott News. And also, just in the next couple of, just so you know, the next couple of podcasts that we're going to be having here, on September 5th, we're going to be having a conversation about climate change with a couple of people that work with a climate change organization. And on the 12th, we're going to kind of go against our regular biweekly schedule and have a conversation about the Democratic presidential candidates with a couple of our Democratic friends here in Prescott. So stay tuned for those, and I hope you'll join us for them. So thank you so much for having your coffee with us today, and have a great, great day.